Psul of Nashim from Atis. And we want to address four things. So the first question is, why are women excluded from the category of Atis? The second is, given that women are excluded, what's the nature of that exclusion? To what extent are they excluded, and to what extent are they included in the category, but they'll still have general remnants of the fact that they're included in the category. The third, which is a spin-off of that, is if we can see exceptions to the rule that women are puzzle edus, and how that manifests in terms of the second question is, will these cases be ones where they'll have the same rules of Aden or not? That's the relationship between those, the second and third question. And then the fourth question, finally, we're just going to have to discuss a little bit about Devorah and how she was a dayan if women are puzzle edus. Good. So to begin, so the Gemara in Shavuos and Lamed Amud Aleph, we know, says that women are pasul edus, and quotes the makar of Amdu Shnei HaAnashim, which the Gemara says is talking about Edim. The Rambam gives a slightly different makar. He says Al Pishnayim Edim, which is Lashon Zachar instead of Lashon Nekeva. So either way, we have a psul from of Nashim Edus. I think we were suggesting that the Rambam's makar indicates a gendered difference, a gendered based psul. I think if that's true, I'm not really sure why that would be more true than the pasuk of Amdu Shnei HaAnashim. So if anyone wants to try to clarify that, they're certainly welcome to. Right, we were saying that Lashon Zachar, for some reason, means that it's the psul is like because of like we need males for Edim and not females, as opposed to Vam Dushnei Anashim, which doesn't take a stance on that.
Yeah, I mean, because Anashim in general just refers to people. You know?
But we're using Anashim to refer to males.
Yeah, I mean, but you doesn't have to. Like, why can't you say that?
We're using it to exclude women from Edus.
You're saying the Gemara.
Yeah, the Gemara. I'm saying once you have the Lima.
Saying, meaning, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying once, regardless of whether you base the psul on Vam Dushnei Anashim or Al Pi Shnayim Edim, it seems like you can draw the same point that it's a gender-based psul. Okay, so the first option for why women are puzzle is basically that it's a gzeres akasa with no rationale. Torah says so. So what evidence do we have for this? So, I forgot to bring the Gemara. So the Gemara, the Tosos and Zvachim on Kuf Gimel probably leads in this direction, because Tosos wants to know, why can't we learn Eved from Isha? That just like a woman is Pasul Eidos, and Eved should be Pasul Eidos, because we have Gzera Shava of Lala. Sorry, what?
Sorry, well,
Oh, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah. So Toso says that why can't we say the same thing for Eved? Why isn't Eved Pasul Eidos because of Gzera Shava of Lala? So Toso's answer is that we can't learn Eved from Isha, because Eidos isn't Tali B'nam on us. It doesn't depend on the believability of the parties involved. Rather, it's exeris akasa of hechad the gali. Wherever the Torah says that someone's apostle, that's where they're apostle. We can't make any extensions or applications. Right. So clearly that indicates toward a exeris akasa type approach, that there's no reason why women are excluded. It just happens to be the Torah says that they're not included. Perhaps we can see this reinforced in the Shoot Mishnah Halachos, Chelek Hei Simen Reish Samech Tes, where he basically argues that, in terms of believability, men and women are equally believed. But there's exeris akasa that we can't use women for edus. And he bases the fact that there's exeris akasa for edus on two things. First of all, that in kiddushin, even if there's a hodaah between the man and the woman, that they both agree that they had a maisa kiddushin, so we're still going to say that it's going to be an ineffective kiddushin unless there are two edim there. So clearly that can't be based on belief, because there's no dispute at hand. Right, so there can't be a question of do we believe them or not. Clearly we believe them. The point is that sometimes we just need Edim in order to establish the matter. That's his first proof. His second proof is the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, where the Rambam says that it's Exeris HaKasuv that we're Mechate Chesadin Al Pi Shnayim Edim. It's Exeris HaKasuv that we rely on two Edim. Why? So the Rambam explains, because they could still be lying. We don't really know if they're telling the truth or not, but it's Exeris HaKasuv that we follow them. So the Mishnah Halacha was infers from there that clearly there's no difference between one and two Edim in terms of their believability, right? We assume that they're telling the truth, and also they could be lying. That's true for one Edim, that's true for two Edim. But there's exeris akasa that we need two Edim. Right, so with that model, the Mishnah Halachos basically establishes that the reason why women are puzzle Edus has nothing to do with a certain rationale, it's just exeris akasa, that the Torah says follow men and not women. That's the first approach. The second approach comes out of the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Kuf Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Beis, where the Chinuch says that women are excluded the Kalos Daitan. So what does this mean? So, and similarly in Mitzvah Lamed Zayin, he says that women are excluded from the Mitzvah of Losana V'Reyacha Yitzhaker because they aren't Bechlal Eidos. Sheha Eidos Tzarech Kivun V'Yishav Hadas Harbe. Seemingly something very similar, that Eidos needs a lot of grounding and clear thought, basically. If anyone has a better translation, they're certainly welcome to suggest it. But anyway, what does this mean? What does it mean that women have Dayit and Kalos? For Rosenstein, I wanted to suggest that this is a difference in styles of thinking, that men have a more analytical approach to thinking about things, whereas women naturally intuit conclusions. And you would think, if anything, intuition might be better for Eidos, but Rosenstein was suggesting that Eidos needs to rely on the analytical process of moving from one step to the next, where you see the connections between those steps. And you can't just jump to the conclusion because there's a higher probability that will lead down the wrong path. That was the suggestion. The Mishnah Halachos, in the same place, Hey Reish Samech Tes, suggests that for the Chinuch, what he means, the Kalos Daitan, refers to the Gemara's application of Kalos, of Daitan Kalos, that women are more easily swayed and persuaded. And so even if women generally are believed, we're worried, we're always concerned that someone got to them and someone swayed their opinion so that they're not testifying objectively. Good? The third model, which is what Rosenzweig was suggesting, and he was basing this on, he was saying that the Rav also suggested this pshat, is that women are puzzled because of kol kvudo v'asmalach p'nima. Basically, that the role of women is not to go out in public and to testify in court. That's what Rosenzweig was suggesting. To the best of my ability, I could not find any direct evidence toward this conclusion. If anyone has any, they're certainly welcome to suggest. But we use this to explain certain phenomena, and we appeal to the fact that this, this basis for the psul nashim has explanatory power. And if so, that might be a good indication that it's the correct explanation for the psul nashim. That's what we said. So what can help us explain? So two things. First of all, we know that the Gemara in Nida, which we'll get back to soon, says kol kasher ladun kasher lahayid. Right, and some basic philosophy says that if you're not kasher lahayid, you're not kasher ladun. Right, everyone follows that logic.
I think the Mishnah says that also.
Oh, it says both.
I think it says the second half of the Mishnah.
Oh, cool. Seems gratuitous.
It's done the date.
No, it does not. It says V'yesh kasher l'chayid v'eino kasher l'adin. Mishnah says kol kasher l'adin kasher l'chayid, but there are some cases where you're kasher l'chayid but not kasher l'adin. Right? But the implication, like the logical implication from the first half, is that if you're not kasher l'chayid, you're not kasher l'adin. So we know.
Let's jump back to the previous part. I think it was also tried to say the kol kvudo is not necessarily emerging from tozos, but hinted at by tozos of diravas with kol kvudo as
no. Right, but that's a weird proof to bring because that's
not tozos.
Right, because it's clearly...
Yeah, not Tosos, but the idea is just like an extension where Tosos doesn't...
So the extent that Tosos quotes the words kol kvudo v'asmalach p'nima, I agree. But Tosos rejects...
No, he rejects the idea, but at the end of the day, the point is he like sort of toys with the idea that maybe kol kvudo v'asmalach p'nima mean that kol kvudo doesn't help for Eidos.
Okay, I'm not saying... Okay, Tosos clearly does not... Tosos clearly doesn't think it. Okay, but Tosos clearly doesn't think it.
No, correct.
Right, and I'm not saying that it doesn't, it's not consistent with Tosos. I'm just saying that I didn't see any direct evidence toward this, that anyone says this.
Yeah.
So we quoted the name of the Rav, and Rosenzweig was suggesting it as his Mahala. But, yeah, I just didn't see any evidence in Rishonim or other Achronim. I guess, like, we heard it Mipiash Mu'ah. We didn't see anything Mipiash Sa'av. So the question is, why doesn't Devorah violate this principle of Kol HaKashal Adon Kashal HaHayit? Because Devorah seems to have been a shofetes, seems to have been a dayan. So how could it be if she's psul l'chayid? So Rosenzweig was suggesting, based on the Ritva, where the Ritva says, well, we should have a separate problem. We should have a problem with melech, because a melech we know is allowed to be a dayan, but a melech can't testify. So that's also a problem. So the Ritva says, no, that's not a problem to the rule of kol kasher l'adon kasher l'chayid. Everyone following? That's not a problem to the rule of kol kasher l'adon kasher l'chayid. Because a melech isn't pasul, it's just a din in kavod. It's not pasul from testifying, it's a din in kavod. Okay, so there's an open reading in that ritva. Is he saying that a melech is actually not disqualified from testifying? Or is he saying that the nature of the disqualification for a melech is one based on kavod? Okay, so Rosenzweig was preferring the second, and he said that if the disqualification is based on kavod. It's not like a psul gavra. It's just a kavod-based psul. So then that's not going to be within the purview of the rule of kol ha-kasher l'adam kasher l'hayed. Right? Because it's a unique type of psul. It's not a normal type of psul. Good? So everyone's like saying that if that's true, we could say the same thing for women. That an isha's psul l'hayed, but her psul is based on kol kudos melech panima, which is a clear kavod-based psul. So if that's true, she's not going to be in the rule of kol ha-kasher l'adam kasher l'hayed. Good?
Why does kavod not apply to dams?
Meaning why wouldn't kol kavod apply, or why wouldn't like the kavod for melech?
Why wouldn't kol kavod apply?
I'm not totally sure, honestly.
You mentioned, was that the connection to Sarara he made when we discussed it? Because then I wasn't sure the connection there either. Why wouldn't apply to dams, but it wouldn't apply to Ada's?
And
it's another
question
I thought
I thought Swaro definitely would apply to Dayanus. All the Rishonim assume that.
Is that true?
All the Rishonim assume that. All the Rishonim say that that's why there couldn't have been an actual minoy for Devora. It could only be a nihug or a kibul alai.
But they couldn't.
The Chachmei Svar.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily not just mentioning it. They could be assuming that they could not be.
Right. But no, because no one else talks about minoy though. There's no one that talks about minoy that doesn't assume that svara will be a problem.
The problem is svara. The biggest problem is she can't be a dad based on the mission of Nina.
Right, but anyway, what's your point though?
I thought that would be brought as a support for that, is that like kavod doesn't apply to that.
I don't remember. To be very honest, is anyone else sure? A different point.
Yeah.
Do you want to address Anne's point instead? Are you sure? No, you might be right. I'm not sure. Very nice. Which where is it? Cool. Very nice. But it's my job to bring up random makoros. Okay, very good. Kuf Klav Tes, you said?
Kuf
Klav Tes. So close. Okay. So that was the first thing we used Rose Zweig's Mahalach to explain was Devorah and why she's not included in the rule of Kol HaKasher L'adam Kasher L'Hayed. The other thing we used to explain was the Gilyonei HaShas's question. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Zainam Beis says that an Isha is Pasul L'Hayed for Ben Noah. Okay? So the Gilyonei HaShas asks, if that's true, we shouldn't need a Limud to teach that an Isha is possible for Bnei Yisrael. Because we have a rule that anything that applies to Ben Noach also applies to Bnei Yisrael. Right? That's what Gemara says, that anything that's said only to Bnei Noach and not to Bnei Yisrael applies only to Bnei Yisrael and not to Bnei Noach. And anything that's said to both applies to both. That's basically what Ganesh asks his question. So if woman is possible l'hayed for Ben Noach, we shouldn't need a separate limud for Bnei Yisrael. Because everything that applies to Ben Noach also applies to Bnei Yisrael. That's his question. So Rav Rosenzweig was suggesting we still need a Gzeiras HaKasuv, we still need a Limud, because the psul for Bnei Yisrael isn't the same psul as it is for Ben Noach. The psul for Bnei Yisrael is a psul based on Kol Kavudo Asmalach Panima. That's what he was suggesting. Good?
What is the psul for Bnei Noach? For us, it's Kol Kavudo Asmalach Panima. Okay, he was suggesting that it was, you would think that just because different factors might play differently, like perhaps we have more field find truth, and their core system is just to keep the society functioning, that you might think that therefore we value truth more than Kol Kavudo, and it'd be impossible to say otherwise.
Oh, meaning that their psul is also based on Kol Kavudo?
What I understood that he didn't say that it's not inherently based on the same thing. It's just because there are other factors in our core systems, you might think that the same. That for whatever the psul comes from doesn't apply in both situations.
Mashallah. Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, I think that's possible. I think I definitely remember him saying that Kol Kavudo is like a Kal Yisrael like psul, and that might not apply to Bnei Noach, which wouldn't exactly be consistent with that.
That was one of the ideas he suggested. He suggested a few different ways of explaining that either because Bnei Yisrael has more Kol Kavudo, so or Bnei Yisrael has more of a feel for truth,
right,
or that Bnei Noach, and you said like a few different
Okay.
Different things. Right. Pashas of the Pasuk of Kol
Alright. This is true.
If you say, well, if you say, like, example, is a kokuda being applied to?
If you say, well, the other reasons, like the mistress of the
objective,
then the you think would apply to both.
You find that?
So you need to have a different reason.
That's why
you
have the question. Yeah, that's why you have the question. Now that you have the question.
If you're saying it's a different source, then it works. So I'm not sure what you're saying.
Can we just say? Sorry.
What just happened? I missed this.
Can you repeat the problem with Ben Noach?
Yeah, Ben Noach. The problem is that we already have a lima that an isha is pasul lahayy for Ben Noach. And there's a general lima? What?
What's the lima?
Like miad ish. No, I'm gonna make up a pasul, so okay. I don't think that's a good idea. It's like edrosh or something like that. Like
you normally bring a new code.
I can't be held to knowing Torah Shasta. It's I think it's in Sanhedrin and Zion of this. I actually didn't see the Gevurah Shasta though.
Nun
Zion, yeah. But I didn't see the Gevurah Shasta, so I can't. What is it? So Isha Chayiva Lo Isha, right? That's the Limud.
So the question is
that if that's true for Ben Noach. If it wasn't nishneis to Bnei Israel, so the rule is that anything that's nishneis to Bnei Noach and not to Bnei Israel at Har Sinai apply only to Bnei Israel and not to Bnei Noach, in which case that should apply only to Bnei Israel. And if it was nishneis so we shouldn't need a separate limud to teach that nishneis to Bnei Noach, to Bnei Israel, right? It should be obvious. That's basically the point.
Was this like manifest in some way, like?
We didn't say anything like that. We didn't see anything like that for sure. Yeah, but I mean, it would be interesting. I guess I think we know that Rashi says that in Isha is Psula Ladayan for Bnei Noach also, right? So. That would work well with the roadside pshat. If the psula for Eidos is based on Kokuda, and we have a shita that Isha is Ksheira Ladin for Bnei Israel, right? So for a roadside, that works well, because the point is that the psul Eidos for Kokuda doesn't fit into the general rule of Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit. Right? So if Ben Noach's psul is based on something else, so we would expect the Ben Noach to have the rule of Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit. And we end up seeing that in like Lahalacha, that Rashi says that a woman can't be a judge or an aide. Does that make sense? For Menach.
Whereas Rashi says for
you. Well, Rashi doesn't say it, but we have a Shita. We have like Tosa says it. Right? So it could work out.
Isn't the violation of Kulkura's
mouth?
Hmm? Dianus isn't the violation of Kulkura's
mouth. So that's what I think Ben was asking. I'm not really sure exactly why Dianus wouldn't be a violation of Kulkura.
Tosfos aren't the ones who suggested the idea of
Kokuda.
They said it's
a kasi. We were using the explanation that the psul of Eidos is based on Kokuda to explain why Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit is not true for women. So we're saying that if a psul is based on Kokuda, that's not going to be a problem of Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit. Then the question is if the psul Nashim from Eidos is based on Kokuda. Why shouldn't they also have a psul dayanim based on Kokuda?
Could you still explain using the pasuk saying they're still mufka to the extent that this rule doesn't apply to them, but it's also not Kokuda, so therefore you don't have this issue.
But why wouldn't it? The question is just why wouldn't it be Kokuda? Meaning if a public role
they never
of...
They never said the idea of Kokuda. I mean, you're just asking in general.
We're imposing the idea of Kokuda on Tosos' answer, right? That Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit is only for men. We're saying why would it only be for men? Because Kol Kvuda is the psula for women from Eidos.
Is it so clear that that's how he said it? It's clear that he said that the rule doesn't apply for women. But he never says that specific pasuk.
Tosos definitely does not say it. That is what we were suggesting in Shir, though.
Okay.
Tosos definitely doesn't say it.
So then just explain it.
Yeah, and Kol Kvuda leads to...
Yeah, I'm saying you could reject... Right. Yeah, you could reject...
So it's awesome.
You're just rejecting a Rosenzweig's explanation. We're trying to figure out within a Rosenzweig's explanation. So, given a Rosenzweig's explanation now, that the psula of Nashim Eidos is Kol Kvuda, in which case we wouldn't say Kol HaKasha Ladin Kasha Lahayit is true for women. question still stands, why would women not have a problem of being a dayan because of kol kuda? That's the question that we would want to address, which I don't think we addressed. Does anyone have any suggestions? Okay. Got anything? Answer your own question.
I don't know. You just think about it. It may have just made less sense for a woman to do that because you need to just said there was no situation in which a woman ever would have been a dime because you need to go through training and things like that as opposed to an A which would be called upon any time. So that was really like a sort of status quo with it that was established. I mean
C is the answer.
You're saying because a woman dies lo shtiyah, so it's not a violation of kol kuda.
Well, because women's never rejected the ability to be a dayan because it just never came up. No one was ever like.
Oh, wow. That's a very forward way of looking at kol kuda, that like the woman chose to reject all of their public roles.
Well, I mean, it's not clear. So, I mean, in sort of what we've been seeing recently, though, that like whether it's sort of like a descriptive or prescriptive thing that like whether. It was just that women don't go, and therefore it became like established
right.
That women don't become Adam, or there's no, it's a formal thing that women don't do it.
Right, okay, I hear that. What's up?
You could also think about like that when it comes to Aiden, they're sort of like thrown around all over the place, meaning they're on the lower side of the power grid, where they're looked at, they're interrogated, and they're sort of treated under like with less kavod, as was her Dayan, who sort of sits there and like his. Regal gowns or whatever it might be. And
yeah, but I don't think kol kuda is like about how they're treated.
To deal with them like that. Meaning it's a lot more of ara to have them to schlep them around and then go around collecting money. And it's a lot more ara for them to.
But the lava ara is for them to be in public. No? Isn't that generally what we assume? You think it's like the task they're performing?
It's about kavod, so then it would make sense that the two could go together.
It doesn't seem like it would be a woman-only din, but okay. I hear. Okay, so now that we know that women are a pasul, and we have three different explanations for why, we want to figure out to what extent they're excluded. So probably the best way to gauge this is whether the normal rules of Eidos apply to women or not. So Ari, you wanted me to call you out when you left, right? So I guess the most direct nafkamina that we have is whether we're going to say butla miksasa butla kula for nashim in a kas of eidim. So let's say you have a group of three eidim, one of them is a woman, and the other two are eidim ksherim. So do we say nimsachan in karapasol that the whole kat is butla? That's the question. So the tumim in simin lamed vav sifkata and yud aleph says that we do not. And he explains the basis for why we do not. And a woman is not an aid at all. It's not that she's puzzle. It's not that she's like just a regular psul of like a Russia or something like that. It's that she's not included in the parsha of Eidos. She isn't an aid. So you don't have a cot of three aidim where you found one of them to be puzzle. You have two aidim, and then you also have a woman who happens to be alongside this cot of aidim. I'm so confused. Okay.
It's the way you said it.
Yeah, apparently. So that's the tumim suggestion. I think we quoted the Rav Mipiyah Shmua as disagreeing and saying that we would say Nimtach and Mikar Apostle applies to women as well.
Yeah, there's an Imri Dina who explicitly says the Torah and then we had to
upon. One more time?
Instead of the Rav Mipiyah Shmua, there's an Imri Dina.
Okay, there's also I also heard Kedarko Bakodesh, I heard Mipiyah Shmua, the Rav say the opposite yesterday. But there's a Gburas Ari in Makos Hamid Beis. Is that better than Imre Vina?
Yeah.
I think it's probably better than Imre Vina. Shagas Ari. Gburas Ari, Makos Hamid Beis, and he says explicitly that the rule would apply to Isha. Right, so the idea here is how removed are women from the parsha of Eidos? So according to the Tumim, we can't even look at a woman as an aid. She isn't a witness. But according to the Gura Sari, according to Shagat Aryeh, she's an aid, she's just puzzle. She's just ineffective. Okay, that's a very clear nafkamina of this. Also, I think Rav Yitzchak Achanan Spector, in the Nachal Yitzchak Simen Lamed Hei Anaf Zayin, if anyone wants to check that out, also says the same thing. It's a good makar, actually.
Sure.
also says like the Gvura Sari that we would say Nimtzach HaMekar Pasul applies to Isha.
Where is that?
Lamed Hey Anach Zayin. Nachal Yitzchak.
But they say the same thing about Chatan? Because it's also like a similar type of psul.
I don't think either of them discuss Chatan. That's a good question. Yeah, the Nachal Yitzchak has a good discussion there where he talks about I think the Tumim has a raya that we don't say Nimtzach HaMekar Pasul from the Gemara about Nirba. Anyone familiar with this?
What's an end? Test.
Yeah, I think that's his right. He says, like, why don't we just say that when the Baal Din is an Isha? And so the Nachal Yitzchak basically suggests that in cases where the woman is both a Baal Dovar and where the Baal Dovar is a woman, so in those cases we won't say Nimtzach HaMekar Pasul because there's Tarti L'Ra'asa, both the fact that she's a Baal Dovar and the fact that she's a woman. So if you say Tarti L'Ra'asa, then there's no shame aid. Right, which connects a little bit to our discussion of Kiblu Alai. For anyone that saw that stuff in the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, the point is that for the Nachal Yitzchak, we're going to say Nimtzach HaMekar Pasul applies to a woman as well. We may also wonder, do women violate Losan of Re'ach HaYitzchakir if they testify falsely? Right, so again, we're talking about a case where a woman is Pasul L'Hayid, and she testifies falsely. So does she violate Losan of Re'ach HaYitzchakir? That's the question. So, I didn't see any great evidence to this question, but the Nimuka Yosef says that, he actually says it for all psulim though, says that for all psulim, if they take a shvua she'ini yodei l'cha'idus, they're not going to be over a shvua's bitui, regardless of the question of Abaye and Rava that we discussed on Chafei, doesn't matter that question, they can't be over a shvua's bitui, because they're telling the truth when they say shvua she'ini yodei l'cha'idus, even if they saw the event happen. Why? Yeah, they don't know Eidus. They saw what happened, but they don't know Eidus because they can't testify. Right, so that'd be a good way of testing this question of whether a woman is bechlal Eidus at all, such that she could violate losan of Re'ach HaYitzchakir. So Nimuka Yosef is assuming for all psulim, women included, that she wouldn't be. Definitely wouldn't be surprising if we saw someone say that other psulim might be included and women wouldn't be included. Right, the other psulim can violate losan of Re'ach HaYitzchakir when they testify falsely. And a woman can't because she's not even Bechal Eidus. Right? The Tumim might say something along those lines. Okay. Another way of gauging how excluded women are is to look at the exceptions to the rule. Right? So see cases where women are actually effective in court. Okay? And there's two ways where the exceptions are indicative of women being included. So first of all, just is the question of when they are effective, do they generate the rules associated with Eidim, the rules that are typically associated with Eidim? That's the first question. The more general question, a little more pragmatic, is just what's the scope of cases that can depend on women? Right. So regardless of whether it's technically classified as Eidus or not, which is a little bit more of a categorical question, more of a procedural question is what cases are allowed to rely on women and which cases are not? Okay, so we're going to see both of those issues kind of intertwined. So the first exception to the rule is Eid Sota and Misa Sabaal, where we know that women are kshiros to testify. Okay, so what happens when a woman testifies in these cases? So the Turei Evan in Rosh Hashanah Chavez Mad Aleph says that the reason why women are kshiros in this case is because when the Torah says V'amdu Shnei Anashim, to exclude women, that's only in cases where you need two witnesses. Otherwise, women are of course kosher. Right? The point is just that the Torah gave Gzeiras HaKasuv that when you need two witnesses, you need them to be men. But in cases where you don't need two witnesses, for example, Sota and Misa Zabal, so then women are ksheros lahayit. That's what he says. And he even says explicitly that they're going to have a shame aid. Okay, I think we quoted this in Shira saying that they're going to be chayav korban shvua. What?
Oh, no. I think we quoted something or other. He was the one who said. Environments was the one who said the coverage.
For what? Which case?
For these
cases?
Any case where the woman is believed, so she would be high as coverage for safety.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't see that. What?
She does have a shame aid?
Yeah, so the Turei Evan says explicitly that she has a shame aid. Yeah, and Micah and Alex are saying that the Mari Mintz and Simon Vav says that she's chayav a korban shvua in this case also.
Do we have a reason for why it would make a difference if it's two versus one?
No, probably not. Probably you would say that the point is that the Torah gave a gzeiras hakasav, that you need men for witnesses. The Torah only gave that gzeiras hakasav in cases where you have two witnesses, where you need two witnesses. In cases where you don't need two witnesses, the Torah was fine giving having women be the aid also. I don't know if there's like a rationale for it.
In a bunch of cases, the Eid Echad, while doesn't affect the case, can be a Chayav Shua or just something else that actually does have impact.
Okay.
So in all those cases, can women be Eid Echad just not Shnei Eidin? Can she be Chayav Shua?
Well, it's my whole guess. In those, the difference might... What?
Sorry.
Well, it's Machlokas and Rishonim. The Rambam says no. And Mordechai says yes. But the difference might be that in that case specifically, that the reason why you can be Mechayav Shvua is because you're an Eid Echad that's rightly Tzarif L'Shnayim. As opposed to Eid Echad for Sota.
The Rambam would say that.
Yeah. As opposed to, let's say, Eid Sota, we don't need Eid Echad or rightly Tzarif L'Shnayim, we just need Eid Echad.
How can these be the cases when she's kind of simple and short and not over
Shemamamon? Well, Eid Sota is definitely over Shemamamon. The Ksuva question. Nisa Sabal, yeah, I guess I don't know if there can be a Shua. I don't guess there can't be a Shua from Nisa Baal. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Nisa, but maybe Yerusha. Okay, but the Rabbi Kiva Eger and Simon Kuf Ayin Test disagrees, and he says that only Eidim Ksheirim have a shame aid ever. And he says the fact that Eid Sota and Misa Baal rely on women, that's not Eidus, that's just Nemanus, that the Torah believes them in these cases. Right, but it's not the formal category of Eidus. Okay. Now, within the same case, taking a little more of a pragmatic approach to this. So the Rambam in Gerushin, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Chav Tes, asks, why does the Torah rely on women for these cases? Right? Why is it okay that women are allowed to determine the outcome of these cases? So Rambam suggests that the only time the Torah cares about having two Eidim, about having the rules of two men as being witnesses, is when the case depends totally on the testimony of the witnesses. Right, so for example, Ploni Harag is Ploni. You depend totally on the testimony of the witnesses. But in this case, where the woman just says Mace Ploni, so that can be determined, that can be ascertained regardless of the testimony. Right, we don't need this woman to come and testify that this person died. We can find out whether this person died. We can go out and see if we see a dead person. What? It's basically what he says. He doesn't say Avid Ligui. He just says that it's possible to determine it without Eidim.
Possibly, technically, or like. Like,
meaning,
but if, like, the body is not...
Wow.
That's the whole
stuff
kept him with it. He drowned
at
sea.
Yeah. I guess you could check out and determine, like, what you think the Rambam means. Yeah, it's... I wouldn't say that there needs to be a body that, like, the best thing can go walk to. I think his point is just that this is the type of question that doesn't rely on like a witness to determine.
What about Sota? You don't have that.
Right, you don't. You
don't have
Bray Sota, yeah. The Rambam was saying it for Misa Baal. Yeah, I'm not sure about Sota. I guess that would definitely wouldn't be in the same category for the Rambam of relying on women for that. Okay. The next exception, so that's an exception based on like the character of the case, right? So Eid Sota and Misa Baal, those are two exceptions. So what about regular cases where the Baal Eidin accepted the accepted women as witnesses? All right, so that's another type of exception. So the question here is will the acceptance of women as witnesses generate the normal rules of testimony? Right. So starting off, the Minchas Chinuch and Kuf Chav Gimel says that when you do a Kibbu Alai, so that will generate a Chiyuv Haggadah for all psulim, including women. It won't generate a Chiyuv Korban Shavuah, but it will generate a Chiyuv Haggadah. It's perhaps against the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Sefer HaChinuch says blankly that women are not included in the mitzvah of Haggadah Eidos. It's explicitly against the Ktos. The Ktos says that there's no Nesias Avon for Kibbul Alai. Right, so I guess the question is, just when you have Kibbul Alai, how much does that generate the Chiyuvim of Eidos? So that's the first question is for Chiyuv Haggadah. Minchas Chinuch and Lamed Zayin discusses whether you would violate Losan Evrei Achai Chaker with Kibbul Alai. So he ends up concluding that you would not, and he contrasts that with Provim. So that's a very good distinction, that he thinks that for if you have Kibbul Alai for Nashim, and they testify falsely, so they will not violate Losan Evrei Achai Chaker. If you have Kibbul Alai for Krovim, they testify falsely, so they will violate Losan Evrei Achai Chaker.
So that's like a Rasha.
Harold,
we said, is
an exception. I don't think he talks about Psule Rasha, but I don't remember.
Wait, that's the Mikhaskina to the Khalid King Kurban Major?
Yeah.
So how does two self being both
together?
What was that God that is generating both is
not? Well, I mean, they're not like based on the same thing. Probably he thinks that, I mean, he had like a few lines in Kufraf Gimel that. The only criteria that we care about for the Chiyuv Haggadah is when they're effective.
Right.
So it's probably not so much a point about the fact that like Kibbul Alai generates like the Shame Aid. It's more of just the fact that Kibbul Alai makes them effective, and once they're effective, so like that's going to be included in the Chiyuv Haggadah.
So, but then the Kovas Haggadah doesn't really show that we're viewing women as a different species.
Okay, that's probably true. Everyone got that point? She was just saying that Minchas Chinuch is not a good enough meaning of this question of do we generate halachos of Eidos when we have Kibbul Alai? Because with Minchas Chinuch, the question of whether you have a Chiyuv Haggadah doesn't depend on Hilchos Eidos. It just depends on whether someone's effective in a court case or not. Good? Any other questions? Okay. That's that. I mean, especially if you think that women are like mufka completely, that makes sense. Right, because Krovim are not really psulim, they're just puzzle agave this person. And if women are totally excluded, so clearly psulim fits somewhere in the middle of those two. And then finally, the Minchas Chinuch is totally mistopic about whether there will be a din of hazama in a case of Kibbul Alai for Nashim. Right, so again, a possible contrast with Krovim, because he thinks it will apply to Krovim. He thinks Krovim will have a din of Hazama if there's Kibbul Alai. But he's not sure whether that will be true for Nashim. Okay. Okay, that's in terms of Kibbul Alai. Then we might look at some other cases, some other expansions, where... So this is kind of getting back more to the pragmatic side of things, and just looking at cases where we can depend on women to determine the outcome of cases. So the first thing we might want to look at is the Rambam in Sanhedrin Perachof Dalet Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam gives incredible power to a dayan to decide cases based on how he sees fit. But along the way, he basically says that the dayan can rely on different things. Okay, so he starts off by saying, Yesha Dayan Ladin Bidini Mamanos Alpia Dvarim Shadaito Notel Ahan Shehain MS. And it says, Ketzad. Harishin is Chayav Adam Shvua Bevezdin Vamar Ladayan Adam Shu Naaman Etzlo Vishadaito Samechas Aldvarav Shazaha Ish Chashir Al Shvua. Yesha Dayan Lahafokas Ashvua Al Shekinegdo Vishava Vito. Hoil Vasam Chadaito Al Dayan Al Hoil Vasam Chadaito Shadayan Al Divreze. Okay, so if you have a case where someone's Chayav Shvua, and some guy tells the Dayan that I know that guy's Chashir Al Shvua. So if the Dayan believes that person, so he's allowed to rely on that person to be mahapech the shvua to the other person. To basically make this guy chashad al shvua. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, then he goes on, he says, afilu haisa isha eved ne'emanin etzlo ho'il matzad ever chazak v'nachon believo somech al avedan. Even if the person that told him that the would-be nishba is chashad al shvua was a woman or an eved, even so, he's allowed to rely on them. And he's allowed to be mahapik l'shvua based on what they say. Right, so clearly the Rambam is giving incredible power to an isha in court. V'chein, im yata sh'tarchov lefanav, amar lo adam sh'samach alav, afilu isha okarov, ze paruahu, im samcha daito al dvarav, yesh lo lomar lezeh, lo tipar ala b'shvua. Let's say some guy comes with a shtar to court, and someone tells a dayan, even if the person that tells a dayan is a woman or an eved, that this shtar is parua, so and the dayan believes her, so the dayan is allowed to be mahapit, is allowed to tell the person with the shtar to take a shvua in order to collect his debt. Right, so again, the Rambam is clearly giving incredible power to the ability of women to come to court and be effective in court. Good? So that's one general expansion. Then we quoted the Mahari Mint in Simen Vav, where the Mahari Mint talks about a case where a tzibor is noheg to accept a woman to testify in certain cases. So the Mahari Mint says that's ofker halacha, and it's like kiblu alai, meaning it's effective. Right, so if the Mahari Mint, the tzibor is allowed to determine to be noheg however they want. Right, so if a tzibor decides they want to start relying on women in certain cases, so they're allowed to just do that. And that's effective. That makes it as if they've accepted these women as witnesses. I don't know if you need a takana, I think.
On a case-by-case basis, or as a
general. So I'm not sure what that means. I know we distinguished that in share, but yeah, what do you mean by that?
Meaning, does every single person come out into court if there's the woman say, oh, we accept her, it's fine? Or no?
No, definitely not that.
The city of New York has now accepted that women are aiding.
It's definitely not the first one.
Okay, so I think that's what we were discussing.
No, we were.
What's the other understanding of that word?
I think Rosenstein was saying that conceptually, even though every time you walk into court and a woman testifies, let's say in the state of New York, that this is the case and New York is no way to accept her, that conceptually that's just like a new kabbalah every time. But definitely not that practical.
Even if all the participants don't want it to be, because the society is plus accepted.
Yeah.
Okay, so wouldn't that be enough for you now if I could object in a specific case?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's like, I mean, maybe. It doesn't seem like the Mahari Mint thinks that you could object to it. Right, so it's like, go ahead.
So I feel like between a case-by-case basis and a categorical
okay, perhaps.
Is a valid one. It just might not be, but just the way we interpret it by against might not be.
Okay, fine. So you think that's enough for me of those two conceptual understandings?
I would think so.
Okay. But then that's probably a good indication that Mahari Mint doesn't mean that. Everyone follow that? She was saying that if it's a case-by-case acceptance of the woman, so if someone decides they want to object and not accept these women as witnesses, they should be allowed to do that. I was saying that the Mahari Mint does not sound like someone has that power to do that, and therefore if that's an afkamina, that indicates that the Mahari Mint is not a case-by-case thing. It's that once there's a minhag, that's like an established kibbul alai permanently. But Rosenstein was saying that there can't be an established kibbul alai.
In which case
that? Rosenstein was saying that there cannot be an established kibbul alai ever.
So it is case-by-case.
That's what he's saying. Not that practically you accept her every time, but that conceptually it's as if you accept her every time.
I'm saying conceptually, but conceptually that means whether the Mahari Mint says it or not, if anyone doesn't want to use the woman as an aid, they can just say no every time.
Yeah, I think yeah, according to, yeah, that's what Shua is saying, is enough for me to.
I don't think you would actually say that. I don't think you'd actually be able to say that.
Why not?
Because it's still against them, meaning they have a general policy that they do accept on case by case, but it's not your right to.
Yeah, it sounds like we're getting into like a contradictory definition of case by case over here, but I think Shua is saying that if it's case by case, then what that means is that you can't look at the past cases as a precedent that you have to do it again in the future. I think that's exactly what it means to be case by case. Okay. I'm not really sure exactly why Rosenstock said that there can't be a permanent kibbul alai. Yeah. Did anyone see anything that indicated that? Okay. The final expansion would be the Trumas Adeshin in Simen Shin Nun Gimel, where he talks about a case where there's a fight over Makomos in a women's section in the shul. And basically the case was there's two women testifying in favor of one of the litigants, and there's one man testifying in favor of the other. And the Trumas Adeshin says that the women are believed. And he says that even though in general women are not believed as Adim, here the Torah believes. Here they are believed because he just says here they are believed. Then he says the same thing would be true in a different case where women are testifying about who a certain article of clothing belongs to. If it's like a woman's article of clothing, so men would generally not be so in tune with who this belongs to, and women would. So again, they're believed. And then he generalizes and he says that anything that we wouldn't expect men to know, so then women will be believed in those cases. The Maharik in Simon Kovayin Tess seems to say a very similar thing. That anytime we wouldn't expect men to be around, we would believe women in those cases. And again, I don't really want to take a stance on the question of whether this is ageist or not. The point is just that the court system is able to include women in all these cases where we wouldn't expect men to be. Right. So if you have a society where there's, like, let's say, a very bifurcated role for, like, the domain of man and the domain of woman, so in the entire domain of women, in all of those areas, we would expect that women would be kosher to come to court and determine the outcome of cases. Shemesh Adeshen, Shin Nun Gimel, and the Maharik in Kuf Ayin Tes.
So the actual number of two women isn't actually important.
What?
The actual number of two women isn't actually important. It's just one woman.
Well, that's right. That might depend on the categorical question of whether we're dealing with Eidos or not. Yeah. The case he brings is a case of two women versus one man. Yeah. I don't think he discusses what would happen if you had one woman versus one man, or two men versus two women.
If it was about Eidos, why would two women come either?
If it was about Eidos?
Yeah.
Well, when I say if it's about Eidos, I mean that if the Shemesh Adeshen is a shita, that women might be kasher le Eidos in certain cases.
But then it should matter if it's one versus.
If they're kasher le Eidos?
No, I'm saying if they. Then why would two be in? One versus one, you just have like a standard halachah. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm saying you just have a regular din as opposed to just believing them because they're two.
Okay. I'm saying, let's say you have two women versus one man. I'm sorry, let's say you had two women versus one woman. So the question is, that would that be halachah or not? Right? Because if we're dealing with Eidos, that clearly wouldn't be Akasha. Two women would be Eidim, and one would be nothing, like Gabon. Okay, the last thing we want to do is discuss Devorah. So, again, we established that women are psulos lahayid. We gave a few reasons why. We talked about what the nature of that psula is, and we talked about exceptions to that case. Okay? But now, going back for a second, so we know the Mishnah in Nida says that kol Akasha adam kasha lahayid. Right, anyone that's fit to judge is fit to testify. And yet, we know that women are not fit to testify. So, seemingly, they should not be fit to judge. And yet, Devorah, we have, was an example of someone who did judge. So, how is that possible? So, the first approach is that Devorah was not Sheira Ladun, and her seeming judgment was not actual judgment. Okay, within that, we can take a few different specific perspectives. So, the Tosos in Shvuas, Chav Tes Med Beis, it's also quoted in Nida, Nun Amad Aleph, and Gitin Peches Med Beis, says that Devorah wasn't done, she was just Milamedes Asadinim. She just taught the rules to the people that would judge. So she wasn't actually a judge. The reason why the Navi describes her as a judge is because she was teaching all the rules that the judges needed to know. That's one approach. Second approach, quoted by Tosos in Baba Kama on Tesvav, and also by all of the Chachmei Sfarad in our Gemara, say that Devorah was a case of Kiblu Alai. They accepted her as a Dayan. Okay, I'm grouping the Ramban into that. I know we said that the Ramban was not saying that. So take whichever perspective you feel like within the Ramban. So that second perspective is that she wasn't a kosher judge, is that Kiblu Alai worked even for Psulim. The third perspective, the Ramban in Shavuos says that that Bnei Yisrael were Noheg Ima Kimalka. They didn't appoint her to any official position, just they treated her like as if she was a queen, and then they listened to what she said. So she wasn't giving Piskei Din, and they weren't Mekabel her, just that whatever she said, they ended up doing. They listened to her, whatever she said. I think you might want to contrast this with the Mahari Mintz, because Mahari Mintz seems to think that once you're Noheg to accept something, that is an implicit kiblu alai. And the Ramban is specifically contrasting being nohegi makimalka and the answer of kiblu alai. And the final answer is, the final thing within this answer, is Tosfos in Nida, Nunam and Aleph, says that Devora was Dana al Pi HaDibor. Okay, so what does Dana al Pi HaDibor mean? So, Rav Rosenzweig was suggesting that it isn't really din. It's not a normal process of din. It's that there was something special about the nevuah that she used in order to determine the outcome of cases. Right? She was done al pi ruach hakodesh. She wasn't giving piskei din. She was using ruach hakodesh to determine what the outcome of the case should be. I would say it's clear that the Maharitz Chayas thinks that this is the pshat in Tosfos, but he challenges Tosfos from the principle of lo b'shamayim hi. That halacha shouldn't depend on ruach hakodesh or nevuah. So clearly he thinks that what Tosfos means when they say Dan al-Pi HaDibor is that Devora was using Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah in order to determine the outcome of cases. Is that clear?
Is there another option?
So the Aruch HaNer in Nida, good question, says that he seems to think that this is like a horah, that when you say Dan al-Pi HaDibor, all we mean is that it's the rule of Navi Rasha Levat al-Davar Lahorah Shah. That it wasn't that she was using Dibor in order to determine the outcome of cases, is that she was using her Nevuah in order to make a Horasha. But then once she did that, she was allowed to be done. Right? So it's a temporary suspension of the rule, and so she was done as like a normal Dayan.
What was the first answer?
That she was using Nevuah to paskin cases. She wasn't being a Dayan.
That's not Lovash Mayimi.
So the Maritz Chayas thinks that is a problem with Lovash Mayimi. Yeah. I'm saying that the fact that Maritz Chayas thinks that is a problem with Lovash Mayimi indicates that he clearly understands that what Tosfos thinks Devora was doing was using Nevuah to determine the cases. Right? Because the Aruch Liner's explanation doesn't run into the issue of Lovash Mayimi.
Aruch Liner is a Nida?
Yeah, Nida Nunam Nunam. Yeah, but according
to Aruch Liner, then she could be a
Dayan. What?
According to Aruch Liner, she could be a Dayan.
But only because of Horasha. So, I mean, like, Horasha, we're allowed to basically do anything, right? It's probably short of like murder, maybe. I think you're probably not allowed to do that, or a vodazara, maybe. I think there are probably some limitations, but the point is that like she's not allowed to be a dayan, just that we suspend rules in certain cases. Yeah. And then the second explanation is Tosfos in Nida suggests that the rule of kol kasher ladun kasher lahayid is a rule that applies specifically to men. Only kol ish kasher ladun kasher lahayid, but not a general rule. And so we already suggested Rav Rosenzweig's explanation that this is because the psul is based on kol kvuda. We also gave a different suggestion that we quoted the name of the Rav, that the reason for this, the reason why we wouldn't have this, why women wouldn't violate the problem of kol kasher ladun kasher lahayid, is because they're totally mufka from the parsha of Eidos. Kind of like the Tumim was saying, why we don't say about the Mitzasa. So if they're totally mufka from the parsha of Eidos, so we're not going to have that general rule of kol kasher ladun kasher lahayid, because they're not psulos lahayid. But it's not in the parsha at all of Eidos. Good? Okay. So hopefully next time we'll speak a little bit about Psul Avadim and then also about Anfar.
Well, on that last point, I thought about this was saying also within the Rav, about the reason why they're told about that because
Psul is used. Oh, we were? Uh-huh. Interesting. I guess it makes sense. Right.